Welcome to another episode of the Brains, Boobs, and Beer podcast. I am your host, Heather, and on this episode, I have probably, apart from my sister, one of the amazing people I have known the longest in life up until this point. So, Jill, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to catch up with you and hear all about life in general.
It has it's been a while.
But we have known each other since, I believe, sixth grade.
Yes.
What did they call? Do we call it shop class? No.
Industrial tech.
Industrial tech
was the technical term.
Yes. Where we, for some reason, they thought six-year-old girls should be using saws and like taking
and welding things.
I don't know why that was a good idea.
Really a bad idea.
And it seems to me, I don't remember what we were working on, but I think we got placed in a group together.
Yes.
And whatever we were working on, we had a little incident.
Yeah, you're being kind. I dropped a C-clamp on your foot, and that's basically how we met.
And I don't think I had appropriate PPE.
Probably not.
On at the time, so I think my toe did get a little banged up.
A little dinged up.
Yeah, but it worked out for the best. Now, a couple years later, we still talk.
Well, you were kind enough to really save me in that class, because there was like a whole long unit on drawing 3D images also, which I could not for some reason wrap my hand around. So you helped me with that.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I forgot about that. And then was that the class we did welding, and we were both like, yes, this is amazing.
We were surprisingly proficient at the welding. We did like the welding where you have to wear the mask and the torch.
Yeah.
And then there was like a spot welding, and we made like a toolbox.
Yeah.
And the teacher, do you remember how he, it was part of his like safety spiel. He like would walk in the class and be like, there's shrapnel all over the room. And
yes.
you've lost your leg, and you've lost your arm, and you have an artery severed. And what do you do? And it was very intense.
It was. And yet, I mean, we made it through. I don't remember, other than the C-clamp, I don't remember any
other injuries.
I don't remember any like limbs being chopped off. So I guess maybe his threats worked.
I suspect I was more of a hazard in the home ec kitchen sewing unit than even industrial tech, sadly.
That's, you know, I was also intimidated by sewing. I don't know why. I just assumed I would sew my finger to whatever I was working on. So
can I make a confession about that sewing unit? So it was in seventh grade when we had to do this, and we had to do those aprons. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I was in the hospital that year. I had that weird issue with my platelets, and I was in the hospital for about a month at Christmas time.
Yes.
So when I came back, I had a whole bunch of work to do, and the home ec teacher said that it would be okay if I worked on my apron at home. So of course, you know, my mom had her sewing machine, and I had other stuff I was catching up on. So she pretty much did it for me. And she ended up like, I think, I can't remember if it was an A- or a B+, but she was so pissed. The teacher sent a note home saying that we needed to get our sewing machine fixed because the needle was like dragging, or there was some kind of problem with it. And she was so upset about it. And I had, since I had it done, when I finally got back to class, I had to do those extra credit tissue holders that we were all out to sew. I had to make like 20 of them to bump my grade back up, because my mom wasn't to get me the grade that I needed for my apron.
And how much sewing do you do now?
None. Sewing or ironing to do, Kyle does it. And he's actually very talented with the sewing machine. He sewed the boys' Halloween costumes early on. And we don't have a Cricut, but a friend of mine does. And he uses that to like make t-shirts and crafts.
So my gosh, that's awesome.
Of the two of us, he is the handy one.
Nice. Way to go, Kyle.
Right.
That's hilarious. Well, and let's see, from hilarious middle school days, then we moved on to high school,
High school,
which was all kinds of other adventures.
yes, yearbook adventures, color guard adventures, winter guard adventures. We borrowed a VCR from a friend of ours last Thanksgiving, and we were able to watch
Oh no.
the Winter Guard and Color Guard shows, in particular our performance to Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. And it was so bad, so bad. Like, I mean, it's just bad as you remember it being. It was so much worse than that. And
Oh
like
my
all of our
God.
parents, are out there in their shirts. And my dad made that dumpster. Do you remember that had the wheels on
Oh
it?
my God, yes, to put on.
That held all the props, and like we were all so proud of it. And it was just they're like the most tone deaf,
Oh,
ridiculous
yes. I was
performance.
like this, I was thinking about that. What was it? I don't remember what came up, and I was like, wow, that was so not woke.
No, so if there is such a whatever the opposite of woke is, it is that.
At least, I don't
It's
know. I don't know what the
about drugs, guns, and gangs. That's what our t-shirts said.
Yeah, let's have all the little like blonde hair, blue eye people do it. It'd be
Yeah,
great.
that was bad.
I remember afterwards, like after all the color guard, winter guard, I remember my parents telling me, like, we were really concerned at first when you wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And then they were like,
It might have been right.
because of the, well, and they were like, why? It's two men leading a bunch of girls. Like, then they went to like the intro session and they were like, oh,
Oh,
now I
okay.
get it. And I had never, like, it didn't even enter my brain until afterwards. Like, I was like, you know what, though? Like, I get it. You just see a name on a piece of paper that might be
Yeah, and
a
you don't
little
know.
concerning, but oh, Jeff and
Well,
Randy, shout out to
I
them.
know. I see Jeff on Facebook sometimes. I think he's still doing it, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then I think about Pam and her velvet
Yes.
leggings once in a while.
Yes. She was like way ahead of trend on like leisure wear.
She started athleisure.
I think all the time of this whatever event I'm getting ready for, it would be a great occasion to pull out my crushed velvet unitard that we had in like every color. But I
Those were
do still
days.
have my saber and my rifle, and the boys play with them in the garage from time to time.
Nice. I think they were at my mom's, but I would assume that she lit them on fire. Like when she was moving, she was probably like, no, absolutely not.
We are having fall break next week, and the school corporation where Kyle teaches and the boys go. And this is hopping back a little bit to middle school, but Lucas, it's his year to go on the trip to DC.
Oh,
So that was another
my
rite of
God.
passage that we did together, the middle school trip to DC. So
And I remember being in, were we in like JFK Airport or something? And
yes.
like Erica was like, I'm hungry. So we're like, okay, let's go get a snack. And like we wandered off. And then I remember Mr. Smith like livid because we
Yeah,
almost
not
missed
pleased.
the flight, like
Not
whatever
pleased.
that next leg of the journey was.
Well, and when I still have pictures from that, and when I look at them, I stole all of my sister's like color guard, because we were in middle school and she was in high school. So I stole her color guard t-shirts to wear because I thought they were really cool. So that's what I'm wearing in all of our pictures. And I still like I would have had a camera that was like the old school film camera. And the very first place we went was the Arlington Cemetery, and I think I took a picture of every single headstone in the cemetery, and then I ran out of film, so I have no pictures from the rest of the trip, just that. So I was telling Lucas that story, and of course he's like, well, I'm gonna take my phone, Mom. I'm like, yeah,
Yeah.
things are a little different.
Okay, mom. Oh, that's funny. Oh, that makes me think of too. I still have to put them together. I meant to do that because it was like our X year anniversary of when we went to France.
Oh,
And I
yes.
had, when I was like purging things, I was like, oh my God, what are these photos? Oh my Lord. All of our photos from England and France and
Was such a fun trip.
was so good.
We were kind of obnoxious. I mean, just in general, growing up, our group of friends was kind of obnoxious. Looking back on it now from, kind of the flip side, I think, that kind of incessant singing and the show tunes was probably a lot. So I kind of feel bad for our parents and whatnot, but that was a that was a really fun trip. We thought we were, pretty awesome, since we'd already graduated and, thought we could do what we wanted, and Madame pretty much let us, but
Yes.
it was really cool.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I'm at least our group was pretty like well behaved, just ridiculous. Like it's not like we were out
We were
causing a
annoying, but we
ruckus.
didn't cause trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
We weren't getting arrested in a foreign country or anything.
But I still remember very fondly all the times in Kyle's basement.
All the golden eye.
Oh, the golden eye. Oh my Lord. And weasel ball.
Yes. Oh gosh, weasel ball. Oh, how much would my boys love weasel ball? That can never be. That
Was
can't
like,
be
I
talked about.
swear he wrote the rules down like for graduation or something. I
Oh.
feel like he gave me the rules and I cannot find them for the life of me. I was like,
Oh my gosh.
somebody needs to publish this. He needs
Well,
to get
you would be looking for a pretty large document, because there were like 800
There were
rules for
so
that
many
game.
rules.
That was like cardiovascular. It
How
was
we didn't get
exhausting.
injured is beyond me.
Well, that was
Like,
everything that happened in that basement.
oh man, too funny. Ooh, well, I'm glad we survived all those times.
Yeah, barely, but yes. And actually managed to be educated, kind of at the same time we were going through all of our crazy extracurricular activities.
Yes, yeah, and just trying to attempt to grow up into adults.
Right.
I still don't feel that I've fully reached
Achieved
that
that.
status, although I am arguably old.
Yeah, that's so my boys tell me. We actually
Oh.
played a pickleball at the park this afternoon, and on the way, I wanted to make sure I was home in time, so I had to. The boys have electric scooters, and they offered me a ride up from the park. So I had a very like my life flashed before my eyes. And Lucas said, "Well, it'll keep you young." I said, "Well,
Nice.
I don't think I like what you're insinuating, but okay."
Am young. I remember when. Oh my goodness. Well, after high school, we split off into our own little realm. So if you don't mind sharing kind of your university path
Sure.
leading to your career path.
So I was kind of the token arts or token liberal arts friend amongst our group of many engineers.
Nerdery.
I took a detour, actually, because my freshman year of college, I went to the University of Missouri in Columbia. At that time, I was interested in, which seems so funny now, broadcast journalism, in particular, like maybe sports journalism. So I went to Missouri. They have a really good journalism school there. And I just kind of figured out that first year that as much as I really liked the school and loved the people that I was with, it wasn't what I ended up wanting to do. So after my freshman year, I transferred and moved back to Indiana, and then went to Butler, which is where I ended up graduating from. And I ended up graduating actually with a degree in journalism and public relations. And why I was at Butler, Butler's a great school. It is a perfect mix of kind of a small setting in a large city. And I was able to do a lot of different internships. And again, it was kind of a process of elimination for me. I worked at a PR firm, which, again, I got to do some really cool things, and the people were lovely. But I just, when I was done with it, I was done with it, and didn't see myself doing that any longer. I worked at the Indianapolis Star, and I wrote obituaries. So that was kind of random, not so uplifting, but it is the
Yeah,
most read part of the paper. So, there's that. And I got a nice parking pass for the garage downtown that worked for about 10 years after I graduated.
Nice.
From school, so that was kind of handy too. But then I kind of figured out that I didn't think I, you know, saw myself in the, you know, newspaper, news industry either. And then I had a bunch of different internships. I had an internship at USA Gymnastics, which I used to be really proud of, less so now, with some of the issues that they had. I did one at the Indiana Sports Corp. And through all of those, I mean, I just had some really good experiences, but just didn't see myself doing any of those particular, you know, jobs or careers for the long haul. So when I was getting ready to graduate, I kind of started to panic and thought, well, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So I ended up taking the LSAT and got accepted to a couple of different law schools and ended up going to a law school at Indiana University in Bloomington. So I went straight from college into to law school, which is 3 years in kind of a roundabout fashion.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I didn't remember you had done so many internships. Like,
they just had like a plethora of opportunities being in Indy, and sometimes, yeah, I, you know, didn't intend to, you know, to do it, but then one led to the other. The one, mm-hmm, at the Sports Corp was really the neatest. I they just were in charge of a bunch of different events that happened in Indianapolis, and as part of that one, oh gosh, when it was the Olympics in Salt Lake City, they take the torch, you know, through different cities. Mm-hmm, so we got, mm-hmm, to ride with the torch around the speedway, which was pretty cool. And they pick torchbearers that each run with a torch, you know, for a little way. And, mm-hmm, most of them have like an inspirational story or some kind of background. And one of my jobs was to call the people who had been chosen and let them know that they had been chosen, which was pretty amazing. And they, yeah, had, you know, all kinds of cool stories. And of course, were like so kind and appreciative. So that was very cool. I got to meet Peyton Manning. I met Elio Castroneves. I kind of like walked around with him for a day as part of the, you know, one of the events. So I did some really random stuff.
Yeah.
We participated in the corporate challenge as our group, and mm-hmm, randomly as an add-in, I had to participate in the race walk, and I won that for our category, which, you know, with like no training or practice, it was just like, I walk really fast. So in general, so that was kind of funny.
Nice.
So had some cool, cool experiences, there and enjoyed living in the city. But then, Kyle and I moved to Bloomington, after I, graduated. Mm-hmm. And we were there for 3 years, and that's also a great town. We had a lot of, well, he had a lot more fun there than I did, because I, you know, was in school and basically, yeah, had to study all the time. But I hear that it was really fun and had a lot of fun places to go and places to eat and things to do.
Yeah, that seems unfair. I hope, yeah, I hope you get to like turn the tables at some point and be like, remember those 3 years?
I try.
These are my 3 years. Oh my goodness. So then you graduated from law school, and then, yes, I don't know how you call it in law, but like your focus or.
Really, in law school, it's a very general education. And I don't know if this is true in a lot of, you know, fields or not, but it's kind of, you know, we took a class that's in a lot of different areas. And I think, mm-hmm, a lot of times you think you might be interested in something, but, you know, once you kind of get out into, you know, the real experience and actually having your job, I mean, you kind of do, you know, what it is that your firm or, you know, people need for, mm-hmm, you to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in law school, they teach you more about, you know, and how to research and kind of how to think like a lawyer than necessarily the nuts and bolts of actually doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's different, you know, maybe that's more, you know, if you're working at a large firm and you're kind of a particular piece of the puzzle, then, you know, I think maybe that's more helpful. In my particular experience, you know, I didn't have a specific goal of, you know, I want to work for a big firm or a small firm, or, you know, I was just kind of looking for something that I thought would fit, you know, fit me and people that I would connect with. Mm-hmm. And it led me to where we live now. And we're, you know, we're in a small town in Southern Indiana. And I graduated from law school, in 2005. And I've been with the same firm the entire time, which I think is kind of a I don't know if it's a unique experience or not, but to, to have basically, you know, one job in your adult life, you know, doesn't seem like maybe that's quite the norm. But, you know, I started as an associate and now I'm a partner. So, you know, basically I'm, you know, part owner of this shared business. And I never really thought about that. You know, I never took any, you know, business classes, probably should have, you know, so, you know, it you know, life is kind of funny that way, you know. You and I can't imagine really being anywhere different than I am now, but I never would have seen myself being where I am when I was going through school, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too, you were talking about how school kind of teaches you how to think like the position. You're not, it's not as specialized, and I feel that's similar to what I experienced in terms of, I feel school teaches you to continue to learn throughout life is my personal opinion. But it wasn't like I went to school and learned how to make face cream and lotion. Like I do now is like conceptual, right? And then learning on the job is such a big piece of it. And I think going into school, I don't know how you felt, but I was like, I'm going to come out and I'm going to know everything about every job I could ever want. No, I had.
Exactly the same thing. And you don't even necessarily realize it. I think when like, at least I didn't, when I graduated from law school, I thought, okay, you know, I'm done. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that like very first day when you show up at the office, like you don't know anything. Like, it's like, okay, well, how do I file a complaint? You know, what is a complaint? Like I have to go, you know, I have to go to the courthouse, and this is, I mean, there's just, you know, like the actual steps of the process, you know, the nuts and bolts of how to do what you do, in addition, you know, to kind of the overarching, you know, thinking about it and applying, you know, the statutes and the rules of law, you know, it's great, but you can't get to that point unless you know physically know how to do, you know, some of those more elementary things that you got to do, and they don't really teach you that. So you know, kind of where your firm comes in. I'm very fortunate. I work with a great group of people. I was the very first female attorney in my firm.
So
that's been kind of an interesting, you know, scenario. And now we have, I mean, we're small there, you know, there's just a group of us, but there is a female attorney who joined the firm after I did. And I just, I love that so much. You know, we have a good relationship and, you know, kind of help each other and, you know, learn from each other. And the guys in my office are, you know, are good too. I've ended up in a really good place, but, you know, there have been, you know, it's interesting, you know, just, you know, things come up that never came up before and, you know, things that they didn't have to think about and things that I didn't necessarily think about either. And you know, you figure it out as you go.
Well, and that's it's, I guess not surprising for me, but maybe it should be surprising for people that is still the case in 2021 that, you know, you might be the first woman in some arena. But it sounds like you have great advocates that you are working with.
And it's interesting, you know, living in the small town, I think, you know, you would expect, you know, maybe you run into, you know, kind of a old school, you know, attorney, or, you know, thinking that, you know, people wouldn't be accepting. And, you know, you have moments where, you know, those things happen. But for the most part, that the legal community as a whole in the area where I am has been very accepting. We have three judges in my county, and two of our three judges are female judges, which is great. Actually, a magistrate judge just started, and that's a female position too. So I really three of the four. So we're more progressive than you might expect in that way for our little neck of the woods. So
little Midwest town.
Exactly.
Yeah.
so that's been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Well, and it must be so encouraging to see as well. Like, I mean, I imagine that you might be on different opinions in your day-to-day exercises in those different positions, but still encouraging and very positive to see.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow, way to go, Indiana. I'm so proud.
I know. You wouldn't necessarily think it.
No, growing up, I definitely would not have, but I'm excited to hear that.
We're in kind of a smallish firm. You know, we do all wear a lot of hats. So I, you know, I do a lot of different things, and my focus, I mean, has, and it didn't start out this way. I mean, I didn't graduate and think I'm going to, you know, do this particular area, but it just kind of happened. So I do a lot of family law. So, you know, divorces, but also, you know, the good part of it, I do, you know, adoptions and guardianship and, you know, all kinds of things that fall in there. We have a university in our town, as well as a hospital, and our office does a lot of work for both of those entities. So that's been interesting too, particularly through the pandemic. You know, there have been a lot of interesting legal scenarios and things that have come up with mask mandates and vaccine, you know, and that's been interesting. So I've
been fortunate
enough to be able to kind of dabble in a lot of things. I've done a jury trial. I had a federal jury trial a couple of years ago, which was, it's one of those experiences that's just kind of horrible when you're going through it, because it's, you know, not your day to day. It's out of your comfort zone. It's just, you know, it's kind of intimidating.
I was gonna say that sounds terrifying, but
and it is, and you have to, you know, you have to put on the face and act, you know, act like it isn't, and you've been there, you know, 100 times before.
Yeah.
And you know what you're doing, even though you know you don't. We were fortunate enough to win that, so
yay,
that was exciting. And now it's not my turn. The next time another one comes up, I can say it's not my turn.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
I think on my side, the best I could equate that to is like an FDA audit, like having to present all your data and findings and justify and support them.
Yes.
So that's definitely not a comfortable scenario.
Exactly.
But like you said, you did it. It's somebody else's turn next time around. Hey, newbie.
Exactly. That's why we have and I'm kind of it's interesting too, because, you know, when I've been practicing for 16 years, and it doesn't seem like that should be possible. Mm-hmm. But it is. And I'm kind of in the middle now. So, I mean, there's several attorneys in my office who have been there longer and are older than I am. And there's, you know, a few that are younger and newer. And it's, you know, it's kind of a nice place to be. You know, you feel like, you know, a lot about many things, but you certainly don't know, you know, all about everything. So you have a comfort level on some things, but, you know, you still, I mean, every day, you know, you might get a call that completely surprises you and something that you haven't thought about, and you've got to go, you know, research it and figure it out and, you know, see if you can do it. And every day is different, which I like.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a blessing and a curse. Like, you don't get bored.
Right.
But sometimes you don't get a good breather either.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. I would imagine it is very very challenging, like some of the family stuff, but also I can't even imagine how rewarding it must feel for like the adoptions.
It definitely can be. And when you can be part of those, you know, moments that are, you know, impactful for other people, that, you know, that makes, you know, those other moments that, you know, are maybe hard or, you know, that you're not, you know, totally proud of, because, you know, sometimes part of a job as an attorney, I do some court appointed work as well. And, you know, your job is to advocate for your client. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you agree with, you know, what their position is, or, you know, what they, you know, what they've done, or, you know, what they want to do. But, you know, you have to kind of take yourself out of that sometimes. And, you know, that can be hard. So, I mean, those situations where, you know, everybody's happy and everybody wins, you know, that does make it worthwhile. And I will say that the family law, it gives me a lot of perspective on my, you know, my own life, you know, my relationship with, you know, my husband, my kids, you know, my parents, my, you know, my family, my friends,
because
you see things that are hard. So, you know, maybe, you know, those things that seem like a big deal in the moment are not such a big deal when you know, there's these other, you know, other things that you could be dealing with. So
No, that makes sense. Ooh, yeah, but I bet there's some days that are still good days to be in the office.
Yeah. days that are interesting. I, you know, will talk to my sister about, you know, things from time to time. And she always, you know, she'll laugh and she'll be like, well, you know, that's one for the book. You know, that's one for the book. Because you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. So, and that's impressive too, that you have been with the firm for all, like the whole time since
all
you
of those
graduated.
Years. Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I don't think that's as typical of like XYZ gens to be in one location. But I mean, it sounds like it fits all those criteria.
It checks our boxes. And, and when we first moved to this area, I mean, we moved somewhere that we had literally never been. You know, we came for the interview and we really, and you know, this is kind of interesting. I mean, when it came down to it, we were kind of debating between two offers, and one was in, you know, the area where we grew up. So it was kind of, you know, do what's comfortable. You know, at that time, you know, both of our parents and families were, you know, were in that area, or, you know, kind of, you know, take a little leap and try something new. And I kind of credit Kyle for, you know, for that, because he, you know, he was just like, let's, you know, let's do it, you know, whereas my nature may not have been to, you know, been to do that. And when we first got here, we were just like, okay, well, you know, we'll give it 5 years, you know, five year plan and see, and, you know, now it's been 17, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that. But, when I did my initial interview, they came to Bloomington to interview me. It was a couple of attorneys at the firm, and you know, I was trying to do a little bit of research about, you know, the area, since I had never been there. And you'll find this funny, that we have a kind of festival here that is very similar to the Feast of the Hunter's Moon in Lafayette. And that was basically like all I could find in the, like the limited research that I did. So I feel like during that interview, I just like weirdly talked about the Feast of the Hunter's Moon, like for like probably a weird amount. So I'm sure when they got back to the office, they were just like, well, you know, do you want to give like a second interview to that weird reenactor girl? I don't know.
Like, she's really keen on these friends.
About pea legs and pea soup, like I don't know.
Oh my god! Well, I have to say, speaking of the Feast of Hunter's Moon, thank goodness for social media, because now I get to partake.
You can experience.
Oh man, that thing was so amazing. Yeah, it was so fun to just eat my whole way through
all the
feast.
So they do, you know, something similar here, like I said, and there was, I think these guys traveled to the Feast of the Hunter's Moon too, but it was like these brothers that had this kind of comedy, but also like knife throwing show.
I mean, comedy and knife throwing, who doesn't put that together?
It goes together, right? So they came here, and I got to be in the middle of the show once, which is pretty funny, because, you know, they're throwing knives back and forth in front of my face, and they're like, oh, no, so tell us about yourself, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm an attorney. And they like grab the knives, and they were like, you know, back up. We've chosen the wrong volunteer.
Oh my gosh. Oh, were you the person that like stands?
Yes.
Oh my god. Impressive. I don't think I could, I don't know that I'd want to do that. Or that I could hold still.
Right. Like, you have incentive once you're in that.
That makes sense. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that was like a factor. That's great. Yeah. But so the location you are now, it's smaller than where we grew up.
Smaller than where we grew up. I'd say we have maybe 17 to 20,000 people here.
Okay.
So definitely, you know, small community.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting too, because I mean, my husband is a teacher in the school corporation here. And, you know, he teaches with, and there are some, you know, male teachers and, you know, male administrators, but it's, you know, primarily female. And then in the field that I am in, you know, there are, you know, women too, but it's kind of, you know, primarily or traditionally male.
Yeah.
So we've kind of done a little role.
Just breaking the mold.
Role reversal in our household, you know, so.
Well, and it's still, I have to admit, knowing you and Kyle for so many years, it's still, I don't even know the right word. Delights, amuses, confounds me that he's a teacher.
I know, right? He's, I mean, truly, and you'll not be surprised. I mean, he's a wonderful teacher. He's really
good. I believe it.
I think it's because he is like a man child that he's just very in tune with, you know, he's, you know, he, they get done with what they need to get done. But I, you know, I think there's a joy to it because he's, you know, he's kind of right there with them. So.
Right. Right. And it makes sense. Like, I wish we had more Kyle teachers. Like, yeah. When we were in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just playing weasel ball all the time. Like, calculate that angle. Bam. Yeah.
Exactly. What's the velocity of that?
How much force until I break your nose? Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So having moved from a larger community to a smaller one, being in that position where you were, shall we say, breaking the ceiling for being the first female in the group or in the firm that you're at, have there been special challenges or lessons you've learned that you could share with the listeners just in case somebody's experiencing something similar and then you have any tips or advice on how to handle being unique in your scenario?
I guess. And, you know, it's been a while since we've, you know, been here and, you know, you get to a point where you kind of feel like you've always been, but it's, you know, it's always hard when you come to in the community where we live, it's really a lovely place and people are kind, but it's the type of place where, you know, most of the time, you know, maybe you're from here and you're, you know, your grandparents and the people before you and the people before you and everyone knows everyone. And even, you know, there was like a grocery store in town that has a particular name. But it used to be called something else. And people would always say, oh, we're going to this store. And for the longest time, Kyle and I are like, where is the store? Like, this one is not big. We can't find
the store. I've yelled it like 100 times.
It's just because, like, our Kroger IGA, I mean, it used to be called something else. And that's just what everyone still called it, even though it's been, you know, different for, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sometimes it can be hard to, you know, kind of, you know, make your way and find your place. And I mean, in starting in a new, you know, a new community is hard enough, but then, you know, kind of having that extra level, you know, at my job, you know, where I felt like, you know, no one really quite understood, you know, my experience because they hadn't, you know, no one had gone through it before. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I guess my nature is to be, you know, kind of reserved. So you just have to kind of put yourself out there and keep trying and you know, put yourself in situations that are uncomfortable and eventually, you know, they become more comfortable and you know, for me anyway, that's how I, you know, kind of, you know, met people and opened up some, you know, opportunities, you know, for myself in work-related areas too. Like, you know, when I first got here, I did public defender work in criminal cases, which is not something I was interested in, you know, really at all, or, you know, thought that I would do, but it, you know, got me into the court system and meeting other attorneys and meeting, you know, judges and you know, kind of got me used to, you know, being in court. So, I mean, now it's, you know, the things that used to make me so nervous and I would, you know, lie awake at night and just like stress and worry, you know, now it's like, I've got this and it's nice to, you know, you still get, you know, nervous about things. I think that's healthy and, you know, you want to, you know, do your best, you know, for yourself and for your clients, but you know, the things that you used to stress about, you don't have to. And that just comes with time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And knowing you fairly well, like knowing you tackle pretty much any challenge that comes your way, whether it's your preference or not, that makes sense to me that you would jump into those things and come out stronger for it, right? Well, getting that experience.
I think it's also just kind of trying to figure out who, you know, who you are, and not changing who you are because you think, to be a lawyer, you know, you think, well, you know, you have to be, you know, kind of an ass, or, you know, to be, loud and argumentative. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have a different approach, and I, you know, I think for me, it's effective, you know, in dealing with, you know, witnesses or something. And, you know, I find that, you know, people are more inclined to, you know, to talk to me, or, you know, say things that maybe they, you know, they should or shouldn't say, if, you know, if they think that I'm, you know, nice, or, you know, I couldn't possibly be, you know, trying to elicit, you know, something harmful because I'm, you know, I'm doing it in such a nice way. Mm. You know, there are ways to just, I mean, kind of stay true to who you are, even when, you know, that may not be the kind of outward perception, I guess, of what you're supposed to be. So I guess that's another thing that I've kind of learned, because I, you know, if I'm being me and I'm doing, you know, things in a way that's comfortable for me, I think at the end of the day, that's a lot more effective than me, you know, pretending to be something I'm not, or trying to be, you know, something that I'm not. And there's room for all different kinds of styles. And part of it too, I think, you know, is recognizing that, you know, every person that comes through the door, you know, I may not be the right fit for that person. You know, maybe they need something that is, you know, a little more, you know, aggressive, or, you know, and just, you know, maybe a different style than what I am. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's okay. And I'm doing, you know, myself a, you know, disservice, and them a disservice, if I'm, you know, trying to, you know, to do something that, you know, is not who I am, or, you know, how I approach things. That's something too that's come over time. I, you know, I find that I can't watch any legal shows.
I've been dying to ask you, which one should I watch, Jill? Because she probably doesn't want to talk about that at all. Everybody probably
It's just so wrong, you know. It's like nothing obviously gets resolved in an hour, and every, like, I mean, I have hundreds of things that are going on, you know, all at the same time, and on those shows, you know, they always, like, they just have one case, and that's happened. You know, there's only one, you know, murder, you know, one crime, and, you know, wherever they live, you know, at all, and that's, you know, not at all how it is. It was when Legally Blonde came out, and it was like right around the time I was applying for law school, and I stupidly refused to watch it for the longest time because I thought, well, that's just not fair, that's not right. when I finally got in and watched it, I was like, okay, that's a pretty good movie. But
yeah, but it's funny too, because it kind of like the point you made, first of all, it's very wise in terms of recognizing who you are, staying true to who you are, and the awareness that it may or may not fit for, like, the client that's coming to you.
To you, right.
So very, very wise words from Jill. But, I mean, I guess regardless, it got me to thinking, regardless what career path you're in, or what area you studied, or, you know, whether you play on a lab bench or you're in a courtroom, like, human interaction is so important in every role, and influencing and understanding and empathy and all of it. So it makes sense.
Reading the room. I, you know, I often think that if I hadn't become a lawyer, you know, maybe something in you know, counseling or therapy, you know, something like that, would have been something I would have been interested in.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have a TV show recommendation then for people?
Sadly, no, I'm not. I have very terrible taste in television. I would probably be embarrassed to even tell your listeners what it is that I watch. But I think it's just because, you know, the day-to-day, you know, and this is true, you know, of a lot of professions, you know, you run into things that are pretty serious. You know, one of the components of the work that I do, I get appointed to cases where, you know, families are involved with the Department of Child Services, and, you know, sometimes it's to represent children in those cases. You know, sometimes it's the parents, and, you know, there's a lot of situations that are, you know, serious and difficult. So I guess I'd like to justify my terrible taste by at least, you know, saying that I sometimes you just need to escape into something that is, you know, different than what you do. Kyle does not buy it, and he just thinks I have really bad taste, which may be the case.
Oh my goodness, that's funny. No, but it makes sense too. Like, it's entertainment, right? And if your day is being poorly represented in a show or inaccurately represented, my aunt used to laugh at me because I would yell at like CSI or something
Yes.
if they like mispronounce chemicals or like so I can understand that. I've heard that feedback from people in various roles that are portrayed on TV. Hollywood guys, Hollywood is not accurate, sorry.
As much as we wish that it were, I would love to win every single case and to do it in an hour. That would be great.
Yeah, although I have to say I did watch oh my God, what is it called? I don't remember the name, but Chris Evans is a lawyer, and I was like, I would commit any crime
For
that
him to
he
be
will
your
be my
lawyer.
attorney. Like, like I was like, I
Fair.
don't, it was his son or so, like his son was possibly a murderer or something, but I was like, I don't, okay, what crime should I go commit? He will be my attorney, sir.
Very fair.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, so when you're not busy, helping all these different people in your community, how are you spending your free time if you have
Well,
that?
it seems to come and go a bit. I do have two kiddos. I have two sons, a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. They're both pretty active. We run to lots of sports. We've got baseball players, soccer player, cross country runners, track, swimming. My oldest does musicals, which I kind of love because you know that there is no talent coming from either parent in that regard. So that makes me, happy. And again, I think it's brave, to try it, to try something new like that. So we're
Well, and it's not like there was a, it wasn't a lack of appreciation,
well,
like
true.
as I recall,
Just a
right?
real lack of skill and talent.
Enthusiasm, just keeping enthused, you'll win.
I think I was the worst dancer to ever be in Wayne Grove.
Oh.
It was not a talent. But
That's
so
awesome.
we do a lot with that. I always have been an avid reader. My sister was a teacher for a while, and she went back to school, and she is now a librarian at a school, which is great because she's always coming up with ideas and recommendations
Oh,
for
how
folks to
fun.
read. So I like that. I like to run. I have a one of my close close friends in town. We it's kind of how we bond. It's like, all right, we need to get out of the house. Let's go for a walk, and we kind of make that a weekly tradition. So that's
Nice.
been good. We watch a lot of movies. Kyle went to film school, and even though his life kind of took a different turn too, we're still very much a movie household. Lots of movie nights with the boys. That was kind of fun during the pandemic. We did a lot of movies that we grew up with, like Goonies and Back to the Future, and things that you don't remember really being inappropriate, but kind of were. Like we watched Adventures in Babysitting, which I loved, and when I was growing up, and maybe only got to watch on TV because there were parts that I did not remember, and the boys were just like, "Mom, like you picked this out."
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Well, and like it's funny to go back and watch those older movies that some friends of mine were doing, kind of the like, and I've jumped in and out when I have time to binge some movies, is like those top 100 movies of all time or one of those lists. And so one of the series that they were going through was all the James Bond
Oh,
movies.
fun. Yeah.
And and my friend was like, her husband's and like was enthusiastic about it. And she was like, yeah, okay, let's watch. And I remember her telling me like, times have really changed. Like,
Change. No.
some of this stuff in the past,
As a
really.
female scientist, you are probably just like really annoyed by every, and I'm air quoting when you can't see me, female scientist that they have in the Bond movies because they seem to be, high
They're
on
always
the.
evil.
Yeah, they don't wear many clothes and they don't seem to know much about science, but they, they've somehow managed to make it to the top of their field.
Yes, yes. And I'm sorry, but stilettos are not appropriate lab shoe
wear. Lab wear, right? Maybe that's what you were wearing when I dropped the C-clamp on your foot.
I learned it early on. You helped me. That's awesome. I was going to ask if you guys, since soccer is in your household, have you guys watched Ted Lasso?
No, and we need to. That is on the radar. Soccer season actually just ended last week because we have a middle schooler that plays, and then Kyle coaches the high school team here, and then we have a Sunday rec league that our other kiddo participates in. So we've just kind of gotten out of the very very busy season. So I'm hoping to catch up on some of that stuff that we have missed because I've heard good things. I think we would like it.
Yeah. I started one because somebody else was raving about it, and I was like, I mean, Jason Sudeikis, like, and then I've watched all of them, like, and I'm curious to see if it's a good blend of you and Kyle. Like entertainment preferences.
Well, we would need to find something. So that's probably a good good try. And it kind of makes me laugh. I don't know if you'll remember this from when we went to France. It was a World Cup.
Yes.
Do you remember like how annoyed we were that like every single monument, like they like the obelisks, they covered it up and made it like the World Cup trophy, and it was like everything was like World Cup this and World Cup that, and we were just like, oh, this is so, it's like so annoying. And now like the idea of being somewhere where the World Cup actually was like my household would go nuts. The fact that was going on, and we watched those games and like the open
in the
air,
street, you know, with like a bunch of Germans, like
like so cool. And you know, it's just like, you don't, a great example of things you don't necessarily appreciate at the time. And I told them that story, they're just like, oh, that's amazing, like, you know, we should do that. And I'm like, well, we didn't really, you know, appreciate it at the time, but
at the time we were like, kind of cool. I'm trying to see the monument, sir. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. So that's one. If you guys get to catch that one, I would definitely
good recommendation.
Yeah. So I know you're not particularly a beer drinker. It seems to me Kyle would partake.
He does. And I you know, I've got the White Claw, which I know I lose points for. But
No. Everybody gets their own.
I got him a kegerator for Christmas last year. So maybe I get some points back for that. So we do have that in the garage. He played. Did you ever play dartball when we were growing up, that the baseball game with darts? He used to play with the old older gentleman at his church back in the day when we were growing up.
I don't remember playing dartball. I remember getting beat up at some football games.
Yeah, we broke a few.
Or I guess what we called football.
We had to catch the ball, I guess, for it to be
true. I don't want to run. Football. I don't want to get smashed. I don't
really happen, but
no, I don't think I played dartball. I don't remember it anyway.
Well, he has brought that to this town, and he has kind of like a little league, and you know, they have a season, and he prints out, you know, cards of the dates that they're going to play, and that's that, so that they play that in the garage, and that's where the kegerator is.
Oh, that's awesome. Well done. See, definitely you get to claim points from that for sure. I'm surprised, like, I remember Kyle inventing a lot of things.
Yeah.
When we were younger, so I'm surprised he hasn't invented something.
Well, that
officially,
has
like patented.
And both of our boys, the Doggett genes are strong. I tell you that because they pretty much look and act exactly like their father, and you know, that kind of creation of games and creativity is one of those things. I think we're gonna have some interesting events going on next week over fall break. You know, our older will be gone, but our younger will be home, and he's got this whole kind of wiffle ball, but with other components tournament. And he's advised me today that there are 20 people that need to be involved in this. So apparently every 10-year-old in town is going to be, you know, showing up at our house. So we'll see.
Well, I'm sure it'll get more interesting. I remember your husband in a street with a super soaker. filled with flammable liquid.
Yeah. Yeah, I worry about that. It keeps me up at night. I worry about that.
But that's also like so old school, you know? So yeah. They probably, as long as you guys don't share.
Right. We can't tell too many. You can't tell them too many of the stories from Kyle's days in middle school and high school yet. Too many good ideas there.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, and to all of the males in your household for giving you some time.
Very quiet.
As they play video games.
I am concerned and suspicious. So that's usually not a good sign.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you, Jill. It's been so nice to catch up, and thank you for sharing, you know, your story and your experiences, you know, that as kind of a forefront for your firm for understanding female role.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for finding my story to be worthy of included in the many stories that you have told. You have some really cool friends. So
I think so. And you're certainly one of them, and one of the most special, longest running.
Well, maybe unorthodox, but since I know everybody, tell your folks and your sister and everybody that I said hello, and I think of them from time to time, and hope that everybody as well.
And vice versa, you know, my dad was so excited. He's like, oh, Chili! Like, immediately. It was just like, Chili! And I said, yeah, I will tell her. So they definitely send virtual hugs, and likewise for all of your family. One day there's gonna be real hugs in the world again.
I look forward to that day, and I look forward to the time when maybe we will ever be in the same place again. So
yeah. Well, I do have to make a trip to Cincinnati. I have a friend that moved there recently. So, well, you know, who knows if your sister's in that region,
definitely in that neck of the woods. That's Midwest. We'll take it. So
yeah, it's so close. Not really, but kind of. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you, Jill. It's been great. And thank you for your advice. Hey, nerds. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. What another amazing person with great ideas and insights. If you want to keep in touch, check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook via the handle Brains Boobs Beer. I've also started a Discord server, so if that is your preferred method of communication, look for that also as Brains Boobs Beer Server. And then periodically, I do post blogs on the website. You can also link to episodes and send us a note there if you want to connect with anyone, or perhaps if you want to be on an episode. And that website is www.brainsboobsbeer.com. Cheers.